The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Uniting WA provides community services for families, including financial and housing support. And they're pretty worried about what's ahead. Joining me now is the Chief Executive, Amanda Hunt. Amanda, thanks so much for your time. What are you expecting for phase two of this economic crisis caused by COVID?
Good morning, Jenna, and thank you so much for having us on the show, because this is something that we really want to make sure that the whole community is aware of that's about to hit our community.
Of course.
So what we know with JobKeeper and JobSeeker about to change is that people will be going below the poverty line again. So with our unemployment rate rising, as you referred to previously, people are going to be living in crisis. And there were already a number of people in our community who are vulnerable. Now what we're going to see is an exponential increase in this in our community.
Is this because our economy was sort of already struggling before COVID hit, Amanda?
Well, there were a number of people who were vulnerable before the COVID hit, of course, absolutely. And you'd be aware of the homeless statistics from many years. And, I mean, we previously, before COVID, had anything up to 600 people sleeping rough in our city.
Yeah,
so, you know, we had a state that had very much a case of the have and the have-nots.
Yes.
We had a lot of inequity, and now, unfortunately, what we're going to see is there will be an increase in people who are experiencing that hardship.
Have your frontline services seen, even during things like JobKeeper and JobSeeker bubbling along, have you seen an increase in people, specifically families, seeking frontline support during COVID?
Most definitely, Jenna. And so the services that we provide are for people who are experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness. What we've seen, even people on JobKeeper, that was well below what they were earning before. So they are able to just pay the rent because of the rent moratorium as well, and they're just able to get by, but they're really struggling with their daily amenities. So struggling with making sure that they can feed their families and normal things like that we do as a family. We're really concerned that with the increase that with the utilities changing soon too, that people will have a whole lot of debt as well.
Interesting, your findings with the you will release today called Above the Line. You've shown that 73% of West Australians believe that the rate of job seeker, which was traditionally known as Newstart, should be higher than the $282 per week. How do we start, I guess, banging the drum louder so the government pays attention to this?
Thank you, Jenna. And I think one of the great things about this finding was the huge what people see in our community, and the fact that 75% of Western Australians believe it's unacceptable for people to live in poverty. What we also know is that the poverty line is misunderstood. So with the job seeker going back down to this amount, people aren't aware that it is that it's under $500, and how are people going to survive on that? How are families going to survive on it? And now we know that our community is saying that more than one in five people in our community agree that we should look after people in need.
I guess we saw over the weekend those horrific stories around homelessness, specifically around the metro areas, but a lot of the people that you have surveyed live in other areas where you probably don't think of that often, such as the southwest and a little bit further north. Do you think that when we start winding back JobKeeper, JobSeeker, and the wheat from the chaff is sort of sorted with COVID in terms of the financials, we're going to see an increase in people that are already homeless having to go to even more desperate lengths just to survive?
Most definitely. So, I mean, the people who are currently experiencing homelessness, as you would have seen by the media on the weekend, are very resilient. I think, you know, one of the things that we have learned is to really listen to the voices of people with those lived experiences, because they're able to help the emerging cohort of people who are about to experience vulnerability. People, what we saw over COVID was with the increase in job seeker, people who had been long-term homeless got themselves accommodation, they got themselves places in boarding houses, they got themselves places in backpackers, and they were really making sure that they looked after themselves and got out of the experience that they were in. So unfortunately, the tide is going to turn again when we've got the experience of going back below the poverty line. People have saved money. It's been fantastic. But I don't know if you saw the statistic today saying that one in three people just in our entire community have dipped into their savings over this period.
Yeah, it's quite concerning. I guess a lot of people would also probably ask the question, and I don't think it is has a simplistic answer, where we have farmers and people in the region screaming out for workers to come and help, you know, for help with the harvest over the summer season. I guess the one thing is it's just not as easy to uproot from the city and move to a regional area where accommodation may be tight and the pay may not be that great. How else can we, I guess, highlight the fact that it's not just that easy just to sort of migrate to the work when you're already on the poverty line?
It's a good point, isn't it? And I've certainly been watching that debate with great interest as well, because there's only a certain demographic that would be able to uproot and move to a different community and be happy staying in backpackers' lodges similar to people who are coming here from overseas. So, you know, that's really not going to work for families. It's not going to work for people who have always been in quite high professions and been able to support themselves and their families as well. So really what we're needing to do is to, first of all, understand what's going to happen for our community and offer practical support for people experiencing hardship. So reaching out to people in community, we're busting the myths about the deserving and undeserving poor. So this might be our brother that loses his job. It might be, you know, our family member, a friend. So it is really about deeply listening and understanding that we as a community need to pull together.
Are you concerned that we're going to see the next generation of people calling other people dobludgers? Because they'll say, people just sort of look at the macro level and say, well, there's work out there. If you really want it, go and get it.
Well, that's the interesting myth, isn't it? Because we know that there's 12 people for every job. So that, you know, we certainly can't be calling people dobludgers in the future because there won't be jobs. And people won't want to be on the dole. Nobody has wanted to be on the dole. I think this is one of those great myths that we also have the opportunity now to dispel as well. And really being unjudgmental about the stories of people who are struggling and relating to people as well as people who are wanting to do something good with their lives as well. We really have to change that narrative about lazy people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess one thing that has been highlighted for me over the past couple of weeks is the lack of social housing in WA. And I know it's a lot easier just to point the finger at specific governments, whether that is the one in power now or previous. Social housing moving forward, is this something that the government really needs to focus on as we reverse out of COVID?
Certainly, and you know that the best way to end homelessness is housing, obviously. And investment in social housing is going to win a lot of votes, I think, for our state government at the moment, in that we're going to be looking at the opportunity to give people jobs. But also there's a whole lot of stock out there that really can be used. So, you know, the opportunity that we have now to ensure that people in our community are kept in a home and kept in a home that they can afford is really powerful right now.
And City of Perth, the Lord Mayoral elections are coming. They basically kick off today. All of the ballots go off. Have you been liaising with many of the candidates that are vying to be our next Lord Mayor?
Absolutely have, Jenna. I've met with every single one of them.
Oh, wow.
and listened to what their theory is about how they can support people who are ending homelessness. And I think, you know, one of the interesting things is some have very short-term solutions that are kind of, really just, here we are, let's get people off the streets. And other have long-term solutions. And I guess what we're calling for is, you know, what would be a way that our Lord Mayor, who's a very influential role,
indeed,
could work across the system, work with the state government, work with the community, work with the business community to come up with solutions as well, and work with our community, work with everybody who actually cares, because that's absolutely what we've seen is community cares about people who are doing it tough. The perceptions on poverty survey certainly prove that, and that was something that, you know, we want to really keep in line of sight of everybody as well.
In terms of some of their ideas, did they come to you with ideas or did they come to you seeking, I guess, your professional opinion, given that you've worked in the sector?
Good question. Thank you. Most of them came with ideas. In fact, there was, you know, some of them had done some great research on what was happening interstate. Some had looked at really listening to the business owners and hearing what their concerns as well. And I think what really interested me was the opportunity that a couple took to go and talk to people and go and listen to people and find out, you know, what was causing their experience of homelessness and what could be done to help them. And I think that's the most powerful way, is really listening to the voices of people who are experiencing homelessness and understand what it would take one by one, you know, person by person in our community to make a difference.
Yeah, for sure. I guess listening to voices is probably what Treasurer Ben Wyatt is doing at this point in time as he scurries to put together the budget, which he'll hand down next month. Have you had any FaceTime with the government about, I guess, the needs and wants of Uniting WA and the social services sector?
Certainly have. And over COVID, we formed a number of task forces to support the community to be strong and to make sure that we were looking after people experiencing vulnerability. One of those task forces that continued was the Homelessness Task Force, mm-hmm. and quite a lot of research and modelling was done by that task force and is probably soon to be released, which looked at what can the state government do to ensure that we're keeping our community strong and we're making sure that we're serving those who are experiencing vulnerability and keeping people who are at risk of hardship out of the welfare system so that we can keep our community strong.
Indeed. I guess just to finish on a high note, Amanda, because I feel that a lot of the doom and gloom around homelessness and I guess coming out of COVID, what has really surprised you about the West Australian community during this time?
Well, I wouldn't say it surprised me, but what's delighted me about the West Australian community is the way that people have reached out. Like, I think it's been absolutely overwhelming. The number of people who have said, you know, how can I help? Mm-hmm. Do you know, we've all now in our community experienced uncertainty. We all know what it's like now to mm-hmm. not know what's going to happen in the next day or so. So now people understand what it's like for people who've been doing it tough. People want to help and people want to help in tangible ways. And I think that's been our overwhelming, you know, absolute delight. And I can't say it surprises me because I know that we as a community are very generous. And I guess I want to see that continue. And again, this above the line survey really shows that. It shows that our community cares. And I think we should be really glad and grateful for that.
Indeed. Look, if anyone has any time today, you'll be able to hear all about Above the Line, probably on the news tonight and in the paper tomorrow. Uniting Care WA CEO Amanda Hunt, thank you so very much for your time.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Jenna.